Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this podcast, you will hear stories to encourage, inspire, and empower you to be the best healthcare advocate that you can be for yourself or for a loved one. The information provided in this podcast is not to be used for any medical advice. This is for information only and to support you in your journey. Please consult with your physician and medical team. In fact, share your favorite episode with your team and ask questions from there. Welcome to the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast. On this episode, we will be talking with Dr. Jeremy Sutton. He is a doctor of physical therapy, and he has some great stories to tell us about patient advocacy from a standpoint of a clinician as well as a patient. So sit back and listen to some wonderful stories from Jeremy. All right. Well, welcome everybody to the podcast. And today we are talking with Dr. Jeremy Sutton, physical therapist. And welcome, Jeremy, to the podcast.
Hey, Christine. Thank you so much for having me on. I'm super excited to talk to you tonight.
Wonderful. I am as well, because I know you have a lot to say about how you advocate for your patients. And in fact, what would you like to speak about today regarding healthcare advocacy?
Oh gosh, there's so much we could talk about. I think my main thing is talking about serving our patients, as healthcare providers, and then just talking about how ways that I feel like we could improve healthcare and what we could do to better serve people.
Well, great, I'd love to hear that. Before we get started with all that, would you tell me a little bit about yourself and some of your experiences?
Sure, absolutely. So I've been a physical therapist for 10 years. I live in Bossier City, Louisiana. I work in Shreveport, Louisiana. I had my own business for about 4 years, closed it in February. I have a podcast called The Servant PT Podcast, where I interview PTs, OTs, doctors, whoever wants to come on and talk about healthcare and how they serve people. I've recently started a course called Creation 101, Starting Your Book. And I have another podcast coming out sometime in the next few weeks called Healthcare Self-Publishing Academy. So I'm pretty busy and have a wife and two wonderful children, and just, I don't know, love serving people.
Excellent. I think, you know, all those things that you're doing outside of the physical therapy realm are wonderful, because it really can help reach even more people at once. And I think as a healthcare provider, like, that's our main goal, right? Is to reach out to people. So great for you to be able to think outside the box and look for other avenues.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I grew up in a community, not even in a small town, just out in the middle of nowhere. And I once had somebody tell me, like, nobody would ever listen to me because I have this Southern accent and all these things. And so what's funny is my podcast is small. It's been downloaded like 27,000 times, but it's been downloaded all over the world. And so I just like to tell people, like, even though you're from a small town or you know, didn't come from money or whatever it is, you can still reach the world and live out your purpose. So I love what you're doing with the podcast. And it's just, I love talking to people that aren't, you know, right here with me. So it's amazing.
Fantastic. Excellent. So let's go back to serving people and you as a physical therapist, and maybe a personal experience that you've had or that you know of another patient. Just what does that look like in your world?
Well, I'll tell you a negative story, and then we'll kind of turn it into a positive. So about 3 years ago, my wife had a concussion. We were actually dancing in our house, and I spun her around and she hit her head on the door facing in our bedroom. And so, you know, she's had some concussions before as a kid. And so anyway, went to bed that night, got up the next morning. I could hear her shuffling her feet. We go to the emergency room, and she was diagnosed with a migraine due to trauma. Okay, cool. We buy that. I go to work. The next day we wake up and she's got fluid draining from her ear. We go back to the ER again, see a different doctor, and he diagnoses her with swimmer's ear. And I'm like, I think she might have a concussion. You know, so, you know, we're begging for a CT scan and all this stuff, neuro exam. And so they do the CT scan. It's normal. All right, you have swimmer's ear. Go see your doctor. Get out. And yeah, it was crazy. So on the way out, my wife was a med tech. So she had worked in this hospital system before. The charge nurse in the ER knew my wife and said, "What happened?" And I said, "Well, we just had the absolute worst experience in the history of ever medical." I said, "I've worked in hospitals and clinics since I was 19, and this was horrible." Told her what happened. "Did y'all get a neuro referral?" "Absolutely not. No, nothing. So my wife gets, this lady ends up getting my wife a referral to the neurologist in town, which is probably, I think, 2 months out was when we could get in. And thank God, one of my best friends is a PT and was a PT in New Orleans. And he got us in with the New Orleans Saints physician, who is a concussion specialist. And within 5 minutes, he said, "Well, long story short, you have a concussion." And so we had a great experience there. But my wife was one of like 3% of people that takes 3 to 6 months to heal from a concussion. So for 6 months, we had literal hell. She couldn't watch our kids. She could basically just sit around, and it was miserable on her and the kids and us. And our son, I think, was less than a year old at the time. So it was really tough. My daughter was probably 2.5. But, you know, I say all that to say, like, as medical professionals, don't ignore your patients. That came up again this week in the hospital system I'm working in. We talked about a patient going to see a doctor, and they just ignored the guy. And he's having knee pain for years, and he has a torn ACL, a torn MCL. Both of his meniscus are torn. And, you know, he's been dealing with this for over 10 years. He's young. He's only 31. And it's like we're not paying attention to people. Like, just because you don't have a medical degree doesn't mean you're unintelligent and don't know what your body is saying. And so that experience with my wife a few years ago, and then now seeing some people that are kind of basically being swept under the rug and saying, "Well, you know, you don't have money or whatever. We're just not going to pay attention to you." And it's not every situation. It's not every doctor. The healthcare system is flawed. We know that, but I don't think that every doctor, PT, chiropractor, OT are evil. Like, I think we're doing the best we can in the situation we have. We just have to remember to pay attention to our patients. Because I think a lot of times we're just like, okay, we see somebody as a PT, you have a torn rotator cuff, we're going to do XYZ. And then you just get into that zone of not thinking about anything else. And I've done it too. I've been a PT for 10 years. We've all done it. But I guess the main point would just be, pay attention to what your people are telling you, and don't just brush somebody off as not knowing what they're talking about. And for sure, do not diagnose someone with a concussion with swimmer's ear.
Yeah, that's probably a good differential diagnosis that it was not swimmer's ear.
I'm pretty sure my two-year-old could have told us that it was not swimmer's ear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just taking a history, it sounds like that would have been. So, but I wondered if, like, the caseload, like the amount of patients we're needing to see is contributing to this, or reimbursement. I mean, there's lots of, but to me, it doesn't matter. Like, I don't care what the excuse is. We're still dealing with people and their lives.
Yeah.
There shouldn't be an excuse to why we can't provide the care that people deserve.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think you hit it there. Like, yeah, we know reimbursement sucks. We know we have to see a bunch of people. I saw a post today where the company said they wanted them to be 105% productive, which is just unbelievable. But the fact is you're dealing with people, and you're dealing with lives. You're dealing with livelihoods. You know, I talk to people daily who are afraid that you're not going to be able to pay their bills. They're afraid they're not going to be able to send their kids to school, or, you know, whatever it is, pay their car note. And, you know, I've been there myself, and, you know, my wife and I were sitting there and going like, you know, what's going on? And then, you know, the weeks after that, we're just thinking, you know, wow, I mean, this is obviously not swimmer's ear, but, you know, what are we going to do? I mean, and it affects your life, because, you know, from the PT standpoint, I'm sitting there going, okay, there should be something I could do. And I did do a lot of manual therapy on my wife's neck and shoulders and things like that that helped. But what it did for me, and I'm going to put the positive spin on it, because I don't like to leave things negative, but it opened my eyes to paying attention to people more, not brushing people off, and really getting more into that servant leadership mindset of, you know, you just say that you want to serve people, but do you, when it really comes down to it, do you serve your patients to the best of your ability? And I would say sometimes the answer to that question would be no, in my case. But I hope that more often than not, it's yes, I've done everything I can for them.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, just that you, like you said, you have a mission or a value to serve your patients. Mm-hmm. And probably even before this experience, you were doing that, but definitely after you had this, and you as a healthcare professional, your wife as a healthcare professional, know what to do, and yet you guys were shot down, thinking of all of the patients who just assume whatever the doctor says is truth and don't go that extra mile to seek anything out, or the patient who doesn't even get to the hospital because of their past experience or because they don't have enough money or whatever. So, Well, thank you for, again, walking the talk. And that's so important to for all of us to do that. For all of us in the healthcare professional to see one thing that we can do differently to make it, to really fulfill our mission, not just work 9 to 5 and go home, even though that's, I want to do that every day. But I know that that's not the right thing for my patient or whatever.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because I told my dad one time as a teenager, I don't remember, like, I don't want to just work a 9 to 5 job and just come home and sit on the couch for the rest of my life. Like, I want to do something different. And I have, and I've been able to do, you know, podcasts and, you know, I have an online course now and I've been able to, you know, be on multiple podcasts and go to conferences and meet people that are influencing the PT profession in the world. And it's just been amazing. Like, really, for me, it's really happened in the last 3 to 4 years, picking up way, way more in the last year and a half, but it's just phenomenal what we have available to us as healthcare professionals and as just people in the world today. Like, you know, we can talk to each other like this. And I don't know if you remember, Christine, but when I was a kid, I can remember, you know, people saying, oh, one day we're going to be on a phone with video screens. And, you know, it's not really what this is, but it is, you know, we're sitting here talking. And, mm-hmm. and so we have a duty to ourselves and each other to serve one another and to take care of each other. And, you know, we only have one life. It's very short in the grand scheme of things. I believe we all have a purpose, you know, ordained by God to live out on this earth. And so if we're not living within our purpose, then, you know, you're really doing yourself a disservice and everyone else.
Right. And we as human beings have the capacity to have a purpose and a passion. And there are so many distractions. And, you know, as a healthcare professional, you can go through what those distractions might mean, but we have to be able to keep coming back to the why we're here. And I think also, like, you know, we're so specialized in our medicine today that we are, oh, someone else will take care of it, or you go ahead and get that checked out. And that, to me, is just passing the buck down the line. I'm not saying that I have to be whomever, but I can at least give a little guidance and not just say, go see somebody else. It's not my job.
Yeah. I love that because I've, you know, so I have a young PT that I'm working with. And one thing that we talk about is, if another professional say, so let's say a chiropractor is treating this patient for back pain. And then they came in to see us and she's like, well, I don't think I need to be treating this person. I'm like, why? And it's like, well, you know, they're being treated by a chiropractor. We're doing different things, blah, 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 blah. I was like, hey, you know what? That's PT school talking. That's not reality. You know, the reality is, and I felt like that too, Christine, as a new grad, like I was like, I'm not going to treat anybody that's seen by a chiropractor and, or whatever. But now I know, like, they can do things, we can do things. It's okay to co-treat people. And it's okay if you're not the guy or the girl that gets them better. Mm-hmm. I finally started adapting this thought of, you know, if you come see me for therapy, I'm okay if I'm not the person that you need to get to in the end. But if I can play a role in getting you to that person, mm-hmm. then I'm just as happy. You know, obviously I would love to get every single person better that comes to see me but I live in the real world. I've been doing this 10 years. I've had some losses, you know, I haven't healed everybody. These hands aren't magic. So, well, they're a little bit, but not completely, but you know, I've gotten to a point where I'm okay. But like what you said, I'm going to say, ma'am or sir, if I can't get you better, I'm going to find the person that can, or I'm at least going to look for the person that can. I'm not going to just pin a 20 on your shirt and say, good luck, you know, get out.
Right.
So it's huge. We all have a responsibility whether we can help that person or not.
Yeah. And going back to your original point of not ignoring our patients. I mean, they talk about in PT school, like malingerers, and pay attention for those malingerers and making sure that we're not getting duped by our patient. Like, why is that even a thought in our mind right now? Why are we always second guessing the perception of pain or the perception of person's experience? And why am I putting a value on what that person, like, I mean, this is affecting their life. And I need to, that's legitimate. They're coming to see me for something. And then fine. If I find that I'm not able to help them or the treatment tools that I have isn't working, let's find the person who can help. But it's just a shame that we have that thought that they're right from the start, or no, you're not doing enough on your own, so it's your problem.
Yeah. Yeah. So I'm going to tell you a couple of stories with that. I love that you hit on that. I went to the University of St. Augustine in Florida. Dr. Stanley Paris started the school. I was fortunate enough to have a couple of lectures with him. And one of them was that he always gave a big pain lecture. And one of the things he said that I absolutely loved is, and he's a phenomenal speaker, but he said, if somebody tells you they're hurting, just believe them. Just don't try to figure out if they're lying or not. Just go ahead and treat them like they're hurting. And that probably has made one of the most profound impact on me is anything that's ever been said to me. Because now, obviously, if somebody is faking, I'm a physical therapist, there's ways to tell if they're faking or not. And I've rolled my eyes before, and we've all done it. But the reality is there's so much freedom in that, of not trying to figure out if somebody's faking or not and just treating them how they present. Mm-hmm. You know, you say your back's hurting. Okay. There's no way for me to know. I can MRI you. I can X-ray you. I can put my hands on you. If you say you're hurting, I'm just going to believe you. And then I'm going to treat you that way. And if you show me, if it doesn't help, then we know it didn't help. But, and then the second thing is one thing that Greg Todd said one time, is somebody says they're in 9 out of 10 pain, and you look at them and you're like, there's no way this person's in 9 out of 10 pain. Well, physically, maybe they're in 3 out of 10 pain. Emotionally, maybe they're in 5 out of 10 pain. And spiritually, maybe they're in 1 out of 10 pain. So that builds up to 9. Because, and I say this all the time, we're not just physical. We're not just treating physical people. We're physical, we're emotional, we're spiritual. You know, there's all that stuff that goes into play. And so who am I to try to decide what, if you're really telling the truth, or what your pain level is? Because we're all completely different. It just makes a difference, I think, when you just try to take people at face value. And, you know, I'll be honest with you. I actually thought about malingering today for the first time in a long time. It's funny you bring that up. But in my 10 years as a PT, there haven't been many people where I thought they were malingering. There just haven't been. Mm-hmm. Most of the people I've seen over the last 10 years have truly, I felt like, been in pain. Mm-hmm. Now, there's absolutely been some where I thought, my goodness, there's no way. But for the most part, I would say it hasn't been very many.
Right. Absolutely. And I don't think that's our place to judge or decide.
No.
We need to work with what we've got. And we as physical therapists have other tools. It's not just about the body, like you said. You know, I psychologically informed physical therapy, psychologically informed rehab is... It needs to be part of our education and the way we treat. We are not just a physical arms and muscles, and we are a whole package, and to divide us up into these pieces is such a disservice. Our body doesn't work that way. And again, back to those doctors. I mean, doctors obviously have way more schooling than I have. But I sometimes think to myself, what happened to being able to step back and take a look at our patient from that whole person perspective. So
yeah,
I'm glad that you can do that. Any other stories? I think you've got some really good stories.
I can tell stories all night, Christine.
Publish the author.
Yeah. No, gosh. So, I really hurt my back really bad 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I picked my brother-in-law up off the couch being stupid, and my back was already bothering me. I'd actually just got back from physical therapy. I went and saw a friend, and it felt like my whole spine fell out of my back when I picked him up. And so I worked like that for a week, and stubborn, hard-headed physical therapist, I can treat myself. And so eventually I ended up in an urgent care because I was supposed to go to San Antonio. I think CSM was there or something. And I just couldn't make it. And I had to have some relief. And the doctor was okay, but he was kind of a smart aleck. You know, he's like, can you bend over and pick up $100 bill? And I was like, no. He's like, I bet I could. I was like, well, congratulations. And, it's just like you're a physical therapist. It was just kind of a bad experience, but so what, who cares? It was the end of the day. That guy, maybe he was tired, maybe he was having trouble at home. But what that taught me was, hey, guess what? This is really scary when someone hurts their back. Because I was scared and I knew what was going on. Like, I called and talked to the nurse before I even went up there. I was like, hey, I have this, 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 and this. This is how it presents. I know what it is. I just can't function anymore. I need some help, blah, blah. But I was scared for a couple of days. Like, am I going to be able to continue to be a physical therapist? My wife hasn't worked in 7 years. I mean, she can, but we've just chosen for her to stay home with our children, which means, if you've ever been a stay-at-home parent and know who anybody is, it just means you do without a lot of things. You know, you don't have money, you just do without things so you can be home with your kids. And so we're like, okay, my wife doesn't work, she can't. And it's just scary. And so you start to see from the patient's eyes how they feel and how it's not about, can I pay the copay at physical therapy? It's about, can I buy bread this week? Mm-hmm. Am I going to be able to continue working as a plumber, as a doctor, as a, a truck driver, whatever it is that going to be able to continue? Or did I just ruin my back for the rest of my life? Mm-hmm. And thankfully I didn't. And I was able to get better. And within 3 weeks I was back, doing whatever I wanted, and had some dry needling later. And that kind of cleared up the rest of it. But it just opened my eyes to, like, people are really seriously hurting and they're seriously scared. And if they come in and they tell you they're hurting, and if they break down and cry, and if they need to talk for a minute, then you just shut down everything the best you can and you just listen to them. And some of the best patient experiences I've been able to provide is when I sat there and said absolutely nothing for a solid hour. This happened to me like 6 months ago. Excuse me. Happened to me like 6 months ago, 2 days in a row, with two different patients. I just sat there and listened for an hour. They both cried. It was great. I got them both back to being able to function and do what they wanted to do. One of them went overseas for a couple of months afterwards, and it was good. But it wasn't because I did anything amazing. I just did some exercises with them later. It was because I listened to them and they felt valued, and they didn't feel like a number anymore, because up until that point they had felt like a number. And don't we all at different points?
Yeah. Fear can paralyze us from everything. So we're either going to go into a freeze mode, fight or flight, right? With that fear. And these patients, they didn't feel safe at that time. And then you listening to them allowed them to come into that safety, that trusting space. And whatever treatment you did with them is going to be more effective when they're in a calm and alert state.
Absolutely. There you go.
We all need that. So that's super. And I mean, we don't necessarily need to have those own experiences ourselves to put ourselves there, but we absolutely have to have an awareness.
Absolutely.
So we get to awareness a lot faster when it's happening to us.
That's right. You sure do.
But for those people who haven't thrown their back off, lifting their brother off the couch, you too can be an awareness.
That's exactly right.
Right. So what advice would you tell a patient in this situation who isn't necessarily being heard by their doctor, therapist, provider?
One thing I like to tell the people that I'm treating when they go see the orthopedic surgeon or whoever they're going to see, I say, hey, before you get in there, go ahead and write down on your phone, because you're going to have your phone with you. Go ahead and write down a list of questions that you're going to have so you can ask the doctor. Because what's going to happen? You're going to get in there. The doctor's going to, it happened to my wife today. She went to an appointment. The doctor had to go do emergency surgery. He was an hour and a half behind. Not his fault. It happens. He was serving his other patient that needed him more desperately. But you get in there. He's flustered. You're flustered. You've been waiting. You forget everything you wanted to ask. Mm-hmm. And then you get home and you have no idea what happened. You're not any more intelligent or better off or feeling better than you were when you went because you've just completely blanked. So that's one thing I would say. So whether you feel like you're not going to ask your questions or you feel like you haven't been heard, write those questions down. Say, hey, doc, this is what I need you to answer today. Now, if they're like, no, I'm not answering that, well, then you need to find a different doctor because that's obviously not the provider for you. So that's one thing I like to say. And then another is just know, try to have an honest moment with them. You know, healthcare providers are people. Mm-hmm. You know, we're not aliens. They don't take your heart out when you go to PT school or whatever it is. And so just sit down and say, hey, I feel like I'm not being listened to. And I would say that 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, oh, okay, well, let me take a minute and listen to you. And again, if they're the 1 out of 10 that don't, then that's not the right person for you. Now, it's easy for me to say it's not the right person for you, but in the healthcare system, I work for Ochsner LSU here in Louisiana. And so it's a safety net hospital. So they take Medicaid patients, they take free care patients, it's whatever. And so in that situation, you know, you may be looking at 6 months out to your next appointment. And it's a teaching hospital as well, so you see residents all the time. And so you may see, they do a phenomenal job, but you may see a different doctor each time. And so in that situation, my goodness, I can't imagine if you don't feel like you're being heard, what you can, I mean, there's really not a great answer. But you know, just try to slow things down and say, listen, you know, I'm a human being. I need some help. Can you please help me? Mm-hmm. And Chris, I've had to tell people that before in my life. Hey, listen, I need some help right now. Can you put the phone down? Can you stop with the attitude? Can we just be honest for a minute and say, listen, I need your help. Will you help me?
Yep. You can't really be more clear than that. And if, like you said, if someone isn't listening to you asking for help, and that's so important for you to even recognize that you need help. And to feel safe to ask for it. So you have nailed it on the head for sure. So what do we need to change about our healthcare system? How can we make this better?
I don't know. Just need a massive overhaul. You know, I think if people would really just sit back and realize that we are, yeah, I have a student, today was his last day, and I said, if you'll just realize that we're seeing people on their worst day of their life, 9 times out of 10, they're not coming to you if they're having a great day. You know, we're seeing people at their worst, that the most pain that they've been in, they're scared, they're fearful. If we could just realize as healthcare providers that that's what we're dealing with every day. We're not going to work. We're not working, you know, a career. We are working with people who are having the worst day possibly that they've ever had in their life. They're afraid. They're scared. That's the same as afraid. they may not be able to work. Mm-hmm. They may not be able to pick up their baby, their newborn baby. Mm-hmm. They may have had a baby and now they can't do things that they wanted to. Their body's changing. And all these things. Like, just remember that you're dealing with somebody's mom, dad, son, brother, cousin, whatever. And they're hurting and they're scared and they need your help. And you may be the only help that they see that day or ever. And they just sometimes need one person to turn around and say, hey, I'm here for you. I'm not gonna, you know, just write you off. And I tell you what, that empowers people when you do that. And, you know, one thing I've told people before, especially dealing with a lot of work comp patients where, you have to get it approved, you know, before you treat them. And especially when I had my own business, it was, you know, a lot of times you can treat those patients and they approve them and they're good. But after you get burned about 3 times with that, then you say, hey, look, we're not doing anything until we get it approved. And so what I would tell people is say, listen, I know you want your therapy. I want to get it to you as quickly as possible. If I don't talk to you by Wednesday, you call me back because mm-hmm. your script may have fell off my desk between 2 chairs or things happen. And just put your hand on somebody's shoulder and say, I am not going to abandon you. If we could start doing that, then we could, you know, reimbursement, we can talk about that. We can talk about, you know, universal health care versus not universal health care. We can talk about all these other issues. But if we just started treating people like people and like, you know, like we actually cared, then a lot of our healthcare problems would die, because a lot of the issues that we have of people abusing like emergency rooms for just coming in and, you know, getting some cough medicine or whatever, a lot of that is because those people aren't being heard in other places and they know you have to see them there. So if they were being heard somewhere else, if somebody was taking care of them, if somebody put their hand on their shoulder and said, I am going to take care of you, then a lot of our healthcare problems, I think, would die. I really do.
I think that's a really valid and very insightful viewpoint, that we need this connection. In this world today, 2019, we have become so disconnected. And disconnection leads to depression, leads to fear, yeah. And we need to be more connected. And as healthcare providers, sometimes our minds are just on doing our job, and we stop to lose sight of everything else, that this person has a life beyond this clinic. You know, I treat people in their homes, so I see everything every day, all the time. I can't be apart from their lives. But the doctors that they go to don't get that privilege of seeing all of the dynamics. My goal for this year, and I've done pretty good, is to attend more doctor's appointments with my clients to help bridge that gap, to help do exactly what you said. I tell them to make that list. But my Spanish-speaking clients, you know, I know that that's going to be hard for them anyway. So I come in there as that person, as their advocate. Mm-hmm. So yeah, making healthcare, making that human connection again, how incredibly valuable.
That's the first time I've been called insightful in my whole life. So
congratulations. I think you're very insightful, Jeremy.
Awesome.
Well, what do you do to take care of yourself? How do you manage all this crazy stress?
I don't think I do. I've got a list right here of what I taught on last night. I've got stuff over there. I don't know. So I love Muay Thai. One of my best friends is a Muay Thai trainer where I had my clinic. And so we started doing Muay Thai martial arts a couple of years ago. And I've really been up and down in it. But I absolutely love that. And that's if I could do anything, I love doing that. But I also, like, I just shut things down and I spend time with my wife and kids, because I do a lot of stuff. Like, I mean, I've got one podcast that I've been doing for a couple of years. I'm about to start another one. I'm really full force about to jump into online business and try to really make that my next career. I love physical therapy, but, you know, to be honest with you, I've been a PT for 10 years and I feel like my student loan debt has been knocked down about, none. You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a never ending thing, which is another thing we could do to help our healthcare system, is stop burdening the PTs. And I know that maybe people say, well, hey, you go and you know, that's going to be part of it. And I do, I fully accept, I want to pay back all my student loans. I don't want anybody to pay back my student loans ever. I want to do it myself, but it's gotten out of hand how much it costs to be a PT. You know, when you get out of PT school and you have $200,000 in debt and you can make 70 getting out, and maybe 85 or 90 at the most, if you go somewhere where they do good raises. And if you work 40 hours, now, if you do other things, you can obviously make more money, but you know, I think that's another thing. But I just like to shut all that stuff down and hang out with my wife and kids. You know, I'm going to get up in the morning at 6 a.m. before it gets to be hotter than the sun here in Louisiana, and climb up in the attic and look for my wife's college diploma, because she needs it for something. So, you know, that's where I get fuel, is being with my wife and kids. And you know, I honestly never thought I would have a family when I was younger. I dealt with depression and different things. I had, you know, I was suicidal at one point. And so, like, just that I have my wife and kids is such a blessing to me. And so, oh my gosh, they just mean everything. So really, it's just taking time with them is what I like to do to take care of myself.
I don't think there's a right or wrong answer to that question. I think just even just understanding that that is what you do to recharge and acknowledging that those are your ways to make yourself whole, that's important.
Yeah, and you know, I'm a very extroverted person. I love being around people. I don't mind entertaining people, you know, as long as it's not at my house, then I get a little anxious. But, you know, that's who I am from 8 to 5 and on podcast interviews. But after 5 o'clock, I want to come home. I want to shut down. I want to hang out with my family. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those people where I can be, you know, the life of the party, but eventually I need to be by myself to recharge. And, sure. And that's just it. You just have to know those things. And if you don't, and when I didn't know that stuff, man, I would just want to beat my head up against the wall because I could never recharge and take care of myself. So it's very important to take care of yourself.
Okay, that's another good point, to understand who you are and where you fit and what brings you energy and what brings you down, and try to get more of what brings you up. So it was a pleasure speaking with you, Jeremy, this evening. Is there anything else you wanted to add about healthcare advocacy?
No, I love what you're doing, and thank you so much for allowing me to come on and share some of my stories. And I have 10,000 more, but I didn't want to go too long. But I think what you're doing is awesome.
10,000 more. I will keep track of those, and we will put another date.
Look for that book coming out soon. No, I'm just kidding.
Absolutely. All right. Well, thank you very much, and we'll chat later.
Okay. Thank you. Have a great night.
Bye.
Hey, it's Christine, host of the Healthcare Advocacy Podcast, and I wanted to just talk with you today about a volunteer organization I started about 6 weeks ago for parents who are in the hospital with their kiddos who are sick after a surgery or perhaps as a newborn. And this is called Nightlight Inpatient Parent Support Hotline, and it's a way for parents to connect with other parents who have been there before. So Kristen Parsons and I have hooked up together to get this started here in Denver, and we are off to a great start with a nice group of volunteers willing to talk with parents who are currently in the hospital. Now we need a little more support to get us actually in the hospitals, get our name and phone number available to as many people as possible, not only here in Denver, but across the United States. So please help us by sharing this episode and letting people know about Nightlight Inpatient Parent Support. And also, there will be some advertisements coming on the podcast here to help us with our funding for different supplies and advertising materials. So that's what we're using the money for. If you have any questions, I'll be putting the link to the hotline in the show notes. And thank you so much for your support.